The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt Brady, otherwise known on the internet as Super Gains Bros. Joined today, once again, by Kyle, otherwise known as Age of Retro. How are we doing today, man?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Glad to be back.
This is great, man. You know, tried to plan another episode. We did one a couple months ago, and we both just have kind of stuff coming up here and there. We're finally here. I was almost thought I was going to have to cancel because if you can tell by my voice, I'm just getting over being sick, but powering through. I'm going to do this here. And man, and then all the crazy stuff that's happened since the last time we recorded. I mean, TikTok, we kind of met on TikTok. Now it was gone. Now it's back. It feels weird. I mean, what do you think about that? It doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't feel the same. It's different. And I was kind of hoping for a break a little bit, you know, because I feel like TikTok is as much as I love it, the gaming community is strong and it's fantastic. It has taken away some of my time to play games.
Yeah.
And I was kind of looking forward to that break and then it's back and it's like,
because I've heard some people say, well, one, I don't think everyone has access to it. Like, I think if you, it's not on the app stores. So if you deleted it, it's gone. CapCut, which is also TikTok owns, that's their editing software. That hurt me more actually than losing TikTok.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just weird. But yeah, it doesn't feel the same.
It is different. Did you jump into any other apps?
I did download Red Note, which I'm not going to lie. Red Note's kind of cool.
It's not bad.
It's pretty cool. I mean, in fact, actually, I don't want to see any American content on there. I'm having way more
fun. Yeah, we're going to ruin it.
I know. I'm having way more fun seeing all the Chinese content, like the food and, you know, like the cool cars they have over there and all the stuff. It feels real sketchy when you like sign up for it because one, it's not in English to tell you how to do it.
Right.
And you know they want to talk about like TikTok's Chinese controlled and stuff. I mean, Red Note's like real like handing your information over, but they've probably got it at this point. That's how I
was lured also into Lemon 8. I don't know if you jumped into that.
I haven't tried that one yet. No.
And I was like, all right, you know, once TikTok goes down, I'll just jump into this. And it's an affiliate of TikTok. Also, it also went down.
Yeah.
When TikTok did. I'm like, what was the point of that? I thought we were jumping, but whatever.
I don't know. Yeah, the only other one I've jumped to is I've done Blue Sky, which I actually really like because Blue Sky is kind of cool in that it's very much like Twitter used to be. Kind of like, you know, before Elon bought it, and it's like a totally different thing now. But it's all like built on the same protocol. So they're going to do like their own version of Instagram and their own version of like TikTok essentially. And it all is going to be tied back to that one profile. So like, it's kind of cool. And like, they've already added video and stuff like that. So like, I'm kind of enjoying Blue Sky so far, because it's like Twitter without the ads, which is great.
It's great.
Like, it's great. Yeah. So, but yeah, TikTok, man, just feels different. Feels to me like I was really planning on going hardcore live streaming over there this year. But now I'm like, I don't know, because it could still get banned again.
Right.
And it's like, maybe I should just focus on like YouTube and Twitch instead.
I agree. I can't get down to Twitch for some reason. And I thought that I'd invest more time into YouTube, and I have, just not as much as I'd like to. Instagram,
you do a lot of photos.
I do. I've pushed myself back into Instagram, and I've grown a little bit over the past month, which has been great. So it's connected. It's reconnected me back in Instagram. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I like, as just an interface, I do like Instagram, and it's so weird, because sometimes I'll post something on one of the platforms and it'll explode. And then I post it on the other platforms and it'll die. But, you know, it's always like random as to which one it is. That's going to be the one that's going to take off. So, all right. Well, hey, let's dive in here today. We are going to be doing something we've done here on the podcast before, which I like to call like Super Nintendo Classics, or, you know, whatever system it is, or developer, or any of those things, where we each just kind of have three games we're going to be talking about. And today we're talking Super Nintendo, because Kyle, I know you're a Super Nintendo guy.
That's me. It's probably my favorite system. Maybe for some genres of games, it's probably my favorite generation, of RPGs. But yeah, we can get into that. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to start and just kind of, show you how we kind of do this here. So essentially the first game I want to talk about is Metal Marines, which I think is a total hidden gem on the Super Nintendo. And even when you go and you watch, like, everyone wants to make hidden gems videos on YouTube ever since Metal Jesus started way back in the day, because that's how you get clicks and views. And I feel like nobody ever talks about this game. And essentially what it is a very cool, you could call it a real-time strategy game. It's kind of like Battleship, actually, is the way I kind of view it more so. And it also came out on the PC. It's made by Namco. But essentially, it's a futuristic version of Battleship, right? Where each side has a base that you have like a map that you have to defend and you have to build. And you get like missiles, you get nuclear weapons, and you also get these things called Metal Marines, which are, you know, just mechs that you can drop and they can attack like a specific area. And you can begin, just like when you're playing the game Battleship, like, all right, B-52, right? All right, where's B-52 at? You look it up, and that's where you could say fire a missile. And then you'll see what's over on that side. The difference is that each side can also build up defenses. You can build up anti-air missiles. You can build up like scramblers, you know, to scramble their radar. You can also build up like turrets, which will attack the Metal Marines if you drop them, and your Metal Marines themselves can also defend specific areas. It is such a fun game to dive into, like if you're looking for something kind of different, and it's still a ton of fun to play today. I was playing it over the holidays on my Mac, and I'm using the OpenEMU emulator, the Mac version of emulation. And, you know, you can speed it up with like the tab button, you know, and so to make it go so much faster. And it's still just such a fun game. And it's one of my go-to games whenever I'm like, you know, I want to play something on Super Nintendo. It's always one of the first games that I go to.
I am unfamiliar with it.
Really?
Yeah, I've never played it. I'm trying to picture it. Is it like an RTS, like Sims kind of game?
It is... let me see how to describe this to you, man. It really is like Battleship, I think, is the easiest way to describe the way it plays, because you each take turns, but it's kind of active, but you're on like a timer, right? So you have like fuel and like resources, and you can attack as soon as your fuel reaches like a certain level. So, I mean, basically you have a little base, and it's, you know, like it's a grid format. And you can say like, all right, I'm going to start building like missiles here, or I'm going to build anti-air missiles here, or I'm going to build a metal marine here. But you have a, or you have a resource pool. It's like oil or whatever, or fuel, and like money. And it's like, you know, drilling. So kind of similar to what you'd see in like, you ever play Red Alert, Command and Conquer?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Kind of like that.
Like, you know, RTS. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a blend, but it's more in like, I guess, the board game form, like that battleship. Yeah. So it's just really then when you say, okay, I think I'm going to attack now, they show you the enemy's map in this like grid, and you don't know it's there unless you've like fired missiles over there. And then you can kind of see some of the surrounding areas. And, so then you just start like, all right, I'm going to start firing missiles here and here and here. And it's usually best to kind of start at the beginning of their map, because if you fire too deep in, then it's not going to hit anything. And so each side has three bases. And well, I should rephrase that. You have three bases that they have to take out, and you kind of can like hide them, or, you know, you want to put them in like different locations. So they're, so, you know, it's like they're searching for those bases essentially to like sink your battleship.
Right.
And they have one, which you have to try and take out. And yeah, so you're just looking for that base. Then it takes like three missiles, or you have to like drop some metal marines over there. It's pretty cool. And you can only fire like, I think, five missiles max, but you can, like, each one of your items can also be upgraded. So that's where you're kind of sitting there using your strategies thinking, all right, am I going to, do I want to fill up more of my map with like defense? Do I want to fill it up with like more missiles? Should I be upgrading? It's pretty sweet.
So you said it's on Super Nintendo and it's on PC as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, and I believe they're kind of different. I think the Super Nintendo version's better.
Okay. So I'm wondering, I have a hard time playing like Warcraft 2 on Sega Saturn or something like a StarCraft on 64. I have a hard time playing those games because I think they're a bit clunky with the controller. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather have a mouse. Do you feel any of that awkwardness when you're playing on a controller and on the Super Nintendo versus the PC?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I don't know if it has SNES mouse support. You kind of don't really.
That would have been a great use.
It would be. Or maybe we get a remake of it with Switch 2. Yeah, Switch 2 is going to have mouse mode. Yeah, I don't believe it does. It came out in 1993. And yeah, so I'm not entirely sure if it has mouse support or
so not. Many missed opportunities for the Mario Paint mouse. So many missed opportunities.
Yeah, and I'm going to look here because I just want to be 100% sure. Yeah, it is not. It's not on the Switch thing yet, the Switch SNES thing. Maybe it'll come to it at some point. But yeah, I mean, I play with the controller just fine. It's pretty easy because you pretty much you're almost always in a menu.
Right.
It's not like there's really not a lot to do outside of being inside of menus.
Cool. So is it like location based? Like you work on a map. Once you beat a certain enemy, do you move on?
Then you
on
go to different maps. Yeah, okay. It's like a level, and I think there's like eight levels, and it's kind of funny. You're like this fictional, you know, you control the United Earth Empire, which is like a version of like, you know, a futuristic version of the United Nations, and the enemies are the Zorgwith or whatever, you know. And it's pretty funny, like, and it's like the, you know, and then there's like the space colonies, allied forces, you know, which is like and stuff like that. So it's kind of, and like it kind of reminds me of Gundam a little bit, really, in like the characters, but the characters are all sort of like over the top and stuff like that. So each level you're playing a different like general of the other army.
I am super curious now. I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of fun. And I mean, I don't know. Let's see here. Metal Marines, cart only.
I was actually
eBay. Yeah. Well, we'll look
at how it much up. Is
this eBay. Let's see here. Let's see. Metal Marines, cart only. There's not a lot of people selling it in the first place. So the prices are all over the place.
Hidden gem.
But the first one that comes up by a pretty reputable seller is $80.
And that's loose?
That's, yeah, cart only. There's another person selling one for $20, but I would have to imagine that's probably a reproduction cart. Complete in box, $230.
One of the things I noticed recently, too, I go through these waves on what I collect, and I've jumped back into Super Nintendo over the past month, just trying to get some RPGs that might have fallen to the side, like Secret of Evermore, right? That one kind of slipped through, whatever. I just never experienced it when I was younger. I picked it up, but when I was looking at price charting, I was just looking at more of the expensive end of Super Nintendo games, and there's quite a gap. It's like $3,000, $1,000, and then there's like a $300 threshold now, and there's obviously like cheaper ones. So I'm trying to pick away in that lower 300, but I can't put my head around that there's like a range of $1,000 game for Super Nintendo now.
It's insane.
It's nuts. It's nuts. It's so like you just told me about this random game I've never really heard of, and now it's like probably $80. Like what is this?
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. Yeah, I know. The prices like that are insane. Just retro collecting in general. God, it's so... And now I'm... Because I pre-ordered the... We talked about this last time. The analog N64.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, all right, well, now I want to rebuild, like, or build, I should say, a physical N64 collection. And I also just ordered the FPGA PlayStation. That's coming out.
Yep.
And so now I'm like, all right, well, now I need to build. I do actually have a pretty decent PlayStation 1 collection, so I'm not super concerned. Like, I have like Xenogears and Final Fantasy 7 and Legend of Dragoon, and most Metal Gear Solid, like most of the games I already like really want. But yeah, I don't know. Now that there's like new ways to play it, and it's like FPGA to me is really cool just because it's like the same chip. And so it's still kind of different than emulation, and that it's like you might be able to see better performance, which especially like N64 to me is really appealing. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of Super Nintendo games don't really need that because they all like emulators do it just fine. For like and there's really not a lot of games where like the performance is bad on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and you sent me that the other day. I'm sorry, what is it called?
It is the Super Station,
and it plays what exactly? It plays PS1, PS2?
Just PS1, okay. Although I would imagine people are saying like the system itself, you can get by itself, and it doesn't have a disk drive. The disk drive is separate. But you could like put in ROMs onto it, and it's FPGA, gotcha. Which is like, you know, you have the analog handheld, yep. Right? Yeah.
The pocket,
right. But for anybody listening, the difference between it and emulation is that this is hardware emulation. It's like a chip pretending to be the same chip that was in the system itself, as opposed to an emulator on a computer, which is software emulation, like trying to. And most of what I've seen from any of the analog devices is that the emulation is usually better that way than it is on like PC or Android, right, or whatever. And the reason I'm most excited about the N64 one is because N64, a lot of like emulation is not particularly great. And lot of games might have better performance, which is really cool. So that's why I'm interested in this PlayStation one as well, because there's definitely a lot of PlayStation 1 games that could benefit from being able to run at 60 FPS or being able to run at really like native 4K. So that's kind of cool to me.
That's appealing. That is appealing.
Yeah. So that is kind of cool to me. But some people are saying that you will also be able to, probably because it's a CD drive that this docking station comes with. And so it was like 150 for the device and then like 40 for the docking station. But you can only like put down a deposit for it, mm-hmm, right now. But they said it should probably also be able to play Saturn and like Sega CD, any of the CD based disc drive games. Yeah.
That'd be huge for Saturn.
Oh, yeah. That'd be insane. Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be huge.
That'd be insane for Saturn. Because that's another system. That's like the one system I've never owned, but I've always wanted to, is the Saturn.
I just recorded some footage today on the Saturn, mostly my Japanese collection. And I was the video spoiler for my future video. But basically, it's about those imports that came from Japan. Like, if they had come over to the U.S. and if they were ported to the Saturn, I think it could have saved the Saturn.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I mean, obviously, if the Saturn had just had a 3D Sonic game to start.
Yep.
Totally different. You know what I mean? Like, totally different conversation.
Yep.
For it. But yeah, it's weird because there are some games that are better on Saturn, like a lot of fighters, like especially those Capcom fighters, are better on Saturn than on PlayStation.
And they didn't release so many, and they're like American IPs. Like, how do you not release Marvel superheroes in America? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense. All right. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to toss it to you, and then we'll just go back and forth here.
Sure. Visual reference for the podcast. I have Super Punch-Out. I've always loved this game. I feel like it's one of those annual games that I could just pick up and play. I love the original, and I think that this game really just kind of nailed the evolution and showed off what the Super Nintendo can do. It's a beautiful, colorful game. And it not only takes the, I guess, nostalgia or love that people have for the original, it expands on it. And I think it's just a game that, you know, it's not something that comes up in a lot of conversations when people talk about Super Nintendo. So I just wanted to kind of bring it up again. And I do love it. I always find myself just jumping in. If I ever need to test something like an emulator on a handheld, I'm jumping into that. I want to see how it feels. That's like my baseline, you know?
Yeah. Now, and you prefer it to the original?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I do love the original Mike Tyson version.
For sure.
I probably have more fun playing the Super Nintendo version.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm gonna say something here. I'm not saying the game's. I'm not gonna say the game's bad, but I don't know. I'm anytime I ever try to play Super Punch Out, I'm just always like, I'd rather just play the NES version or the Wii version. Yeah,
Wii version's great. I think
I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's just because I think sometimes it's like, it's just, I don't know. I couldn't get into it.
I think the Wii version is the next step. Like what the original Punch-Out game is to the Super Punch-Out game, the Wii version is to it's just the next evolution of that series. And I thought the Wii version was fantastic.
Yeah. I'm still so shocked they have not brought this game back, or they've done nothing with the franchise.
They could easily just make an HD remake. I'd buy it, or evolve the series on the Switch. It'd be perfect.
Or or even like mobile. I mean, I don't understand how they never this, you know, they look at, now that Nintendo's sort of into mobile games, how is this not a franchise you would do something with?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah. But yeah, what is it you like, you know, more about this game? Because obviously there are some different characters, some different dynamics, like that super meter at the bottom is different than the star meter.
I think mostly the character design is probably some of the most interesting character design. They're big and colorful characters. I think they nailed their personalities and their unique play styles. I thought they did a really good job. And I think it's a beautiful game to have that really just kind of shows what the Super Nintendo can do. It's just a pretty game.
Yeah, I'd agree. Visually, it's fantastic. And it is one of those games that does, like you said, really showcase the Super Nintendo sprite, like this, the sprite system and everything. Yeah. And two player as well, right?
No,
I think this one's not two player.
No, I don't think so.
You can't do 1v1 in this.
No.
Oh, I thought you could.
You would have to be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's only one.
I thought you could do. I thought this one had only the Wii version is.
Yeah,
has one
because you would have to be one of the characters
Although you can't just both be.
No, I could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure it's not. I'm pretty sure it's a single player.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, man, geez. I don't know what I'm talking about. Apparently,
You should play it.
I need to. Apparently, I need to dive back. Need to dive back into it.
That's right.
But you're not Little Mac in this game.
No, you're some other guy. I forget his name.
Yeah. Does it say?
No.
And you don't have the in-between montage of biking around like New York City.
A missed opportunity.
Missed already. Okay. But no, I mean, I will agree. I think that it does carry on. You know, the Super Nintendo said, hey, we're going to take a lot of games and we're going to slap Super on it and we're going to remake it. But I do feel like it is truly a Super version.
Definitely an enhancement.
Punch out. Yeah.
And now that you say it, like it doesn't have that story element that the first one have. You know, like the first one, like you felt like you were going through the life of a boxer through Little Mac. You don't get that in the second game.
Yeah.
It's just like a pure fighter, you know?
Yeah. But control wise, I mean, is it still as, like I said, my time with this one is not nearly as much. It is still like the strategy. You have to go into each. It's like Punch Out is really not a boxing game. It's a puzzle game.
Right.
The franchise in general, but it's just like the original. It's a puzzle game more than anything else.
Yeah, you're reacting to things. It's about reflexes and a pattern identification, and I just think that the controls are fantastic, and I do appreciate them more so in this one than I do the original NES version.
Yeah, cool. All right. Okay. Well, hey, I will give it another try. I promise you that. I gave Earthbound a try, by the way. Yeah. You recommended it. I didn't get super far into it. Actually, I started playing it and I was like, you know, okay, this is kind of cool. Because I got past the intro and everything. And then I was like, I should play this on an emulator. That way I can like speed past dialogue. And I did that. And then I was like, you know, now I should do this with some of the other RPGs I wanted to play. So I went back and I played Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, which is one of my favorite RPGs ever. And upon finishing, I was like, yeah, this game isn't as good as I remember. And then I tried to play Breath of Fire for like the 50th time. And I think I've just decided Breath of Fire is not for me. Right. I'm not saying the franchise isn't. I'm saying the first game. I have tried on the Game Boy Advance. I have tried back in the old original day on the Super Nintendo. It's just, it's too slow. It's too confusing. I feel like you have to have a guide to even understand what it is you're supposed to do in that game. I'm willing to give the rest of the series a chance, but the original game, I think
no.
Wow. Yeah.
How much time do you invest in an RPG before you give up?
I mean, I'm pretty far through Breath of Fire. Like, I'm probably like 3/4 of the way through, but I'm just like, I'm at the underwater stage and I'm just like, it's just too much.
I think it's not for you then. That's pretty far to make it.
I'm pretty far into Breath of Fire. I'm just like, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of depends. If it's the battle systems in RPGs are pretty important to me. It either needs to be like a true turn base that I can get into, or I don't know, like the Tales series. I'm really trying to get into it. I've tried Tales of Symphonia. Right now I'm playing Tales of Vesperia on Switch, and I'm kind of enjoying it so far. So we'll see if I continue on with that. But games like Grandia, I think, have a great battle system where
love Grandia.
You're still, or Grandia 2 especially, where you're like moving around. Eternal Sonata had a similar battle system like that. Like Final Fantasy X-2 actually was a little bit different because it involved like some motion. Games like Enchanted Arms, which are kind of, that's like a PS3, Xbox 360 RPG, where it's not like a true turn-based. It's also like a hybrid between turn-based and tactical, because you're on like a grid that you can kind of move around, but you're stuck to this like tiny little grid. So like, that's kind of cool. And then I love tactical RPGs like Front Mission, Fire Emblem.
Did you get the new Front Mission 2, I think it was.
No, haven't gotten either of them, but I plan on it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, they just, I think it was limited run. They just released a new pre-order for, I think it was Front Mission 2. Mm-hmm. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I have the original on the DS version. I did not pick up the Switch version. I might at some point, but I don't know. I kind of get the DS version. If I want to play it, I'll play on that. So, okay. Next up for me, continuing on with my metal thing. I was actually thinking about trying to find three games that had metal in it. I was like, I've played Metal Warrior. It's kind of okay. The only one I'm going to talk about today is Metal Morph. Are you familiar with this game?
You got me again.
Wow.
No
really?
Idea. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, man. So the easiest way to describe Metal Morph is, which it's kind of just in that.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, it's just okay stage. Like, it's not a great game by any means, but it is kind of like somebody, it came out in 1994, so it clearly came out after the two games that kind of, that obviously inspired it, which I would say would be Star Fox and Metroid. It is like a blend between Star Fox and Metroid, in that you, the majority of the game is like run and gun. It's really like platformer. Your character can basically turn into metal liquid, and you can like, so it allow you to like get to special parts of the stage where like, oh, here's a crack I have to go under, kind of like Samus's morph ball. Mm-hmm. Right. But they're like short stages. And then after each stage you fly to a different planet, but it's like Star Fox.
This sounds like a made up game. This is a game that came out. Published by Nintendo, or released
this
by
is
Nintendo.
Not. This is by Origin Systems, and like, who, what are they, what else have Origin made? You know, they're one of those things that, I think there was one of those companies not even in existence anymore. They made all the Ultima games, Wing Commander.
Like King's Quest, or is that Sierra?
That was Sierra. Yeah, they pretty much made them, just like the Ultima games and Wing Commander.
I love Wing Commander series.
And they made System Shock. Yeah, so I think it's like 8 levels. And, you know, but that you're basically your two kind of levels. So your normal level is really, think more kind of like Metroid. They say run and gun. It kind of feels like Turrican, really, I would say. Mm-hmm. And the stage design is not particularly great. I mean, you're just kind of like, all right, you know, it's just kind of like traditional platformer. Shoot some enemies, like it's pretty bare bones basic, but in between you get these spaceship levels where you're flying, you know, and it's like from that Star Fox type of view where you're flying and, you know, there's enemies and everything, and there's like, I think there's like 4 planets and there's 4, so there's like 8 total levels, and it's like 4-4. It's a pretty short game, but it's just kind of a cool idea that they tried this thing. But I say the hook to it is that you can morph, right? Your character basically turns into like a pool of metal slime, and you can like slide under cracks in stages to get through them, right? Like, what was that Nickelodeon show where that girl could do that? Alex Mack. Right, remember that?
Yeah, there you go.
It was about the same time. It was, so
are these upgrades that you get going through the levels that you can do all these things, or you just like equipped with them just, from the get?
It's just kind of from the get go.
Okay.
Yeah, and you just have like a pistol, and there's just random enemies you have to fight against or anything. There's not really like a great story. Yeah, like this is one of those ones. I think it's a game that's kind of cool to check out. I don't think anybody's gonna be like, this is my favorite game ever, but I think it's like a game that's worth checking out just because of the idea of that, where it's like, oh yeah, why didn't people, because there are games that you go back where like in between, like Batman, the Sega, even the Super Nintendo version, it would have in between stages where you'd have the Batmobile stages, right? And I just think it's cool that they did like a Star Fox type thing.
Well, you might have sold the Star Fox thing.
In between. You're in a spaceship and you're going to, do that behind the spaceship view, shooting enemies. It's kind of cool. And it definitely has some like Mode 7 going on in the graphics, in the thing.
What's the price on this one?
Metal Morph, it's probably either going to be stupid cheap or stupid expensive.
Yeah, 94. I'll have to
see. Metal Morph, Super Nintendo. Yeah, like $150.
Damn. And that's loose?
That's loose.
Wow. I don't understand. I feel like this is like a crazy time to be alive.
But there's also some people, it's probably a game because it was like 1994. It probably didn't print a bunch.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's one of those games where like my cousin got it, And so it's just like, all right, I just went over to his house to play it. And so I happened to play, it's just one of those games. Because back then, not everyone had every game, right? And so he just bought something that he thought looked cool because that's the way it was back then. You pick up the box. I don't know. Does it look cool?
You couldn't go on the internet and look it up.
Yeah, you couldn't go on the internet. So unless you knew people that had it, But the player must retrieve missing pieces of their ship while simultaneously fending off aliens who desire the secret of metal morphosis.
I feel like I've played that. It's called Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah,
you have to go pick up pieces of your ship.
Yeah. It has one review, and it's from GamePro. Because, back then, that many things reviewed it. GamePro gave the game a positive review, saying that the two play styles complement each other. The controls are responsive and accurate. The graphics are attractive. The music and sound effects suit the game's tone. However, they concluded that buying this game is pointless, since the game's level select and non-randomized levels allow the player to see everything in one single rental, which is what I would say. There's not a lot to it. But if you're looking for something to check out on the Super Nintendo and be like, this would be a fun little thing. Even if you're going to emulate it, I think it's worth playing just to see the concept of it and be like, I think that this could have been something more.
I want to check it out now.
Yeah, I don't know that it's worth owning, but it's definitely worth playing.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay $150, but
no.
I will try it out.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to toss it back to you here.
Okay. We already teased it.
Boom, there it is.
Earthbound on the Super Nintendo. This game, I might have mentioned it on the last episode. It's just a game that floored me, and it did take me a long time to jump into. I probably picked it up 5 or 6 times before I actually finished it. And then when the SNES Classic came out, I jumped in and, probably dumped about 40 hours just going through it. And I loved it. It was definitely one of the most unique experiences. And I'm glad I experienced it as an adult, or what I consider to be an adult. But it's just it's a very unique take. It laughs at other RPGs. It doesn't take itself seriously. It's got a decent combat system, one that I typically hate in games, where it's like that first person, like Shining Force perspective. I'm not like a big fan of that. Or Phantasy Star does that. Mm. I don't like that typically, but I thought it was just goofy enough, and then it just like it's gut wrenching at some parts of the game, and I thought it was a good symbolism for growing up, like going from a youthful person and then figuring out life really quickly. And I thought it was a good storyline. So I can't recommend it enough. It's probably one of the best RPGs on the system, if not one of the best RPGs of all time. But it does have that initial, like, it can be tough to get into. But once you get it going, like once the fire started, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I made a short out of the last time we talked about it. And I had some people, you know, say things like this guy said, I just started playing this for the first time on my SNES Classic and I cannot stop playing it. It's so damn charming and intriguing. I'm just going to dive in more. Another person said, once you get past the slow start, it's such a great game.
That's great to hear, because I agree. It is a slow start. And I, like I said, I probably started it 5 or 6 times over the years because people always recommended it. It's like it was a hidden gem at some time. And then with the market, it blew up. Like, and now it's just like a very expensive game. And I think that's intimidating to some people. And I hope that's not the case, where they can find other ways to play it. You can play it on the Switch. And I definitely recommend that people try and do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's interesting that they've, I know, you know, one of the memes is, hey, bring Mother 3,
Mother 3,
that it's another franchise that they've never done anything with.
Only through Smash, right?
Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that made that where they Fire Emblem pop back up over here is because of how popular the characters were in Smash, Marth and Roy. Mm-hmm. But Ness and Lucas are pretty popular too.
Interesting. Yeah, I never really, that's another series I never really got into.
Fire Emblem?
Yeah. Man, it's deep, right?
I Fire Emblem Three Houses has become maybe my second favorite RPG ever.
Oh, nice. I have to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. Like and Fire Emblem Engage, I also really enjoyed. But from what I've heard and what I've played from the rest of the series is that those games are a little bit different, and that you kind of have like a hub world in between that you can investigate. And that kind of expanded out for me. But I would say start with Fire Emblem Three Houses. It's so good. The soundtrack alone is just like amazing.
Yeah. It always looks interesting to me. And it's one of those things where I don't have access. Well, I mean, I could do things to play it. I can do some emulation,
right?
But it's an expensive series to get into as a collector. Yeah. So,
yeah. And I have like Birthright on 3DS, which I could play. And then Awakening is another. Awakening is what I think a lot of people consider to be the best. That was like the first one for 3DS. And yeah, they're great. They're all just such a great series to dive into. But with Earthbound, also, I still am just like, it still just perplexes me that I haven't done anything with this. I think the best thing to do would be to do like a remake of Earthbound.
Yeah, one of the interesting things I think about Earthbound, there's a few things. The first game is amazing. It's really not the first game. It's the second game. The original was on the NES, and Earthbound was really Earthbound or Mother 2. That's what we're familiar with. And then the third game, Mother 3, did come out on the GBA. Game Boy. Yep, on the Game Boy Advance. But they actually had a prototype for the N64 version, where it was that was going to be Mother 3, and you can actually find footage of that gameplay. And it's like, it probably took them 5 years to develop what they have. So if you end up seeing that footage, it's kind of nuts what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is just gone. Like, we'll never see that it's abandoned. They took some of the ideas that they had from that initial game and they put it into Mother 3 on the GBA. But you're right. It's largely gone. They don't really keep up with it. And I think fans would be like delighted if something finally would see the light of day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the best way for Nintendo to bring Earthbound back would simply be to remake Earthbound.
Yeah.
Mother 2, right? I think you could do it with some like a pretty cool art style. And I would expand it out a little bit to where you could like see your characters in the battle system. So that's a turnoff for people. Yeah. Actually, Dragon Quest III, the HD 2D remake that they just did, they actually did it a cool way where when you're not battling, like when you're like going through the system of what you want to do, like, all right, I'm going to fight and you're setting up your commands, then you can see all the characters, which you couldn't in the original. But then when you actually go to attack, it goes to the just here's That's the monster, cool. You see the slash. So it was kind of a cool way to still have both and like pay that homage to the original. So that's maybe what you do. And maybe even just toss this to Square and you're like, hey, do an HD 2D.
Yeah, they could do what they did with Zelda as well.
Yeah.
Because now they have that actual Zelda game based on that, the initial, like, because they have the components and everything for it. So
yeah, Echoes of Wisdom. Yeah. Echoes of Wisdom took the assets from the Link's Awakening remake. And yeah, made an entire game.
Or they do what you just said, where it's like that digital style, that
the HD2D.
I can't imagine it be more work than creating a whole new game from scratch. You could just leverage some assets, you know?
Yeah, because they obviously worked with Square to some degree, or on the Super Mario RPG remake that they just did.
And there's
Star Ocean. Star Ocean, yeah, that one's, I'm actually playing that right now. It's really good.
Yeah, it's beautiful what they did with it.
But I tried to get into, I tried Super Mario RPG, but I never played it on Super Nintendo. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Maybe it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's not my thing. All right. I'm going to talk about my last game here. And this is Tecmo Super Bowl. So, obviously, there's three versions of Tecmo Super Bowl. There's Tecmo Super Bowl 1, 2, and 3 on the Super Nintendo. And I think most people think about Tecmo Super Bowl on the NES. But I really like the Super Nintendo version. Just because, graphically, it's just such an upgrade over the NES version for me. And there's still a great community out there making ROM hacks for it. So you can still play today with like current rosters.
Yep.
It's great. I
think that's awesome.
I download it every year and they make college ones too. So I'm kind of more into college football. And so I always download every year. I download the college version of it and I'm still playing Tecmo Super Bowl, still having so much fun. I love it. I'm like a Tecmo diehard. I have the DS version they did, you know, a couple years ago. Love it. I'm a tech, like, but you know, the funny thing is I never played it when I was a kid. Never had Tecmo Super Bowl when I was a kid, but now I'm like, but then I started playing it back when the Dingu came out, which was like one of the first like handheld emulators. I mean, now we have everything like the Odin and the Retroid Pocket and all the stuff like this. The Dingu was this Chinese device and it could pretty much just play NES games. But I had the entire NES library on there. And I was like, you know, all right, I'm going to play some football, play Tecmo Super Bowl. Got super into it.
Wow. Yeah. You mentioned the updated rosters. I feel like every old franchise or old games type, like sports game from back in the day, has a version of it where it's modern. People are keeping up with it. And have the updated rosters. Like RBI Baseball has a new version. Like that's so crazy to me. And I think it's cool.
NFL Street, NCAA 2006 has a mod of it. NFL 2K 2K5, people are keeping up with it. Tecmo, obviously. And NFL Blitz. There's a group that does the game, the 64 version of NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz 2000. They keep up with that. I download it every year too. It's great. It's awesome. It's so much fun.
It's cool. It is cool. I don't know. It's been so long. I don't think I did much in Super Tecmo. I played a lot of Tecmo Bowl on the original NES. I never jumped into the Super version.
See, I think Tecmo Super Bowl to me is way better than Tecmo Bowl. Way better. Because Tecmo Bowl doesn't have like the full license, NFL license, whereas Tecmo Super Bowl does. And then people do the edits where you can get like the current rosters and everything. And yeah, it's so sweet. Yeah, you can play as Patrick Mahomes or whoever. But to me, the reason I just like the Super Nintendo. If you look at the difference between the sprite animations, I just like the Super Nintendo version so much more.
And you choose that over Madden? Like the Madden from like Super Nintendo times?
Oh yeah.
Superior game.
Yeah, I really don't like a lot of the older games outside of Tecmo. With the exception of the Sega Sports ones, were actually pretty good. Like College Football National Champions and I think it was Joe Montana's NFL Football. It's like the same engine.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. It holds up pretty well today. But yeah, the Maddens back then, it's so difficult to go back to today because they're just so stiff. Like the characters are like passing opens up these like three windows. And you can kind of see what's going on, and you just bomb it down the field, and it's just, I don't know, something happens.
That's rough. Yeah,
it's tough. Like now, but a lot of the other sports games are great. Like basketball, Tecmo Super Basketball is great, or even like some of the NBA, well, NBA Jam, obviously. Like whatever the EA version of basketball, NBA Live is kind of okay. Baseball games are great, but yeah, football is kind of a lot because there's a lot of moving characters. Whereas Tecmo, even though it's a little more arcadey than the simulation version of like Madden, it's just it doesn't feel right to me.
I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, I still love it. I think it's tecmobowl.org, and they've got updated rosters and everything you can still download to play. Keep playing today. Wow. You know,
I gotta do it. I gotta try it.
It's great. So, all right, I'm gonna toss it back to you for last game today.
Okay. Last game, Super Metroid, only for the Super Nintendo. I was obsessed. I'm still obsessed. It's tough to match the atmosphere of that game today. I remember the commercials for it just absolutely sucked me in. I think I own the strategy guide, and this is actually my strategy guide from when I was a kid. Like, it's beat to hell. I would drag it around. I would obsess over the enemies. Like, I was infatuated with the game when it came out. And I could pick it up today and just try and work on my better times. It's like a once in a generation kind of game. And I hope the new generation that's coming out, like Prime 4, I hope they do something with it. I hope it catches like the last ones did. And again, it's just a beautiful game. I remember just drawing the enemies because they were so unique. And I remember the clunkiness and just the confusion of playing the first NES version. Just what a expanded and improved experience from the original. Like, very different than Super Punch-Out, where, you know, this improved everything about the first game. Adding maps, the new enemies, new items, like just chef's kiss. Perfect game to me.
Do you like this more than Fusion?
I do.
Yeah.
There are like quality of life improvements in Fusion that I like vaulting and, you know, grabbing ledges. But there's just something eerie. There's something mysterious, and there's just an atmosphere in this game that you can't find in any other game, I don't think. And people can try and replicate it or try and chase that atmosphere. It's just, it hasn't been rivaled since. Like, no one's coming close to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the opening, obviously, where you're going through the destroyed lab and like what's going on. And then there's Ridley. Yeah, it's great. And it's one of those games too, you know, especially now that you can play on your Switch OLED if you want. Really helps the visuals. And it's one of those Super Nintendo games, and I think a lot of them, you know, the sprites, they just hold up so well today just because they still will always look good, like the art style. And that's one of the things about Super Metroid is that the art style will always continue to be good in this game.
And not to go on a diatribe, but one of the things I love about Star Wars is it's weird and it's mysterious. And you have no idea why there's these things and why there's a history to these characters that you have no idea what's going on, right? I've always loved that about Star Wars. And I think that's what's going on with this game, too. It's like, what when you get into the wrecked ship and there's why is there this wrecked ship? What are these robots on this wrecked ship? There's you don't really find answers to those things. And I think that's probably one of the coolest thing about the game. You don't get answers. There's really no storyline to the game. It's loose. There events happen, sequences happen, but nothing really pushes the story. It's here's the initial introduction. Something's happened. Then a game goes on, and then you're you leave the planet. That's the beginning and the end of the game. Not much happened, story wise, you know?
Yeah. I think also it's, you know, looking at it from today's lens on all of the things we can do in gaming, like quick save and, you know, like gaming back then, and this is, you know, that where this Metroidvania term comes from. And, you know, Zelda kind of had this too, obviously. But back then, a lot of games were just platformers, right? Yep. All right, beat this level, beat this level, beat this level. And back then, a lot of people didn't have a lot of games, right? I mean, games were really expensive back then. I mean, GTA 6 might cost $100. Well, yeah, that's what video games also costed back then. But with inflation, you're spending $200 on a game. They were pricey sometimes. You know what I mean? So, you know, you as a kid often only had a handful of games. You were really diving in. And that's one of the things I think that why so many people are so fond of this is because you would spend hours on or even your summer or your Christmas or your entire Christmas playing this one game. And you know, you can explore. You get the map. All right, I gotta go get this thing. Go get this thing and do this, and you know, go over here and get this item, and now I've got some bomb power-ups and that'll help me out,
right?
And that true Metroidvania style of game when you were a young kid and you also didn't have access to a lot of things we have today. I mean, today you can go and get PlayStation Plus. You've got 100 games at your fingertips. You know, we didn't have that as kids, right? I mean, that was not something you were renting a game on a weekend and you had to try to do as much as you possibly could, or, you know, you only had one or two games. So I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people really like this is because you were constantly exploring, learning
exactly
of everything, and every power up feels that much more significant.
Yep. And if you buy a game today, it's everything is figured out in that game. It's online. They're either going to spoil it or there's going to be a guide about a way to do something. You didn't have that. You had maybe 10, 12 games in your entire library of games back then, and you were I'm gonna explore this section of the game because I, you know, maybe there's something there, maybe there's something I could uncover in this map of the game. It's one of the reasons I love Destiny, the original game, so much. Mm-hmm. Because when that first dropped, no one had any clue on some of the sequences that would happen in that game. I don't know if you're familiar with the original Destiny game.
It's my favorite game ever.
Yeah, Xur would come, and that was just a random event that would I don't have any strange coins for him. How do I get strange coins? That was such an amazing experience that is hard to capture today. Everything's just kind of figured out after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, or even worse, but now it's you know, it's like you see the videos of people being like, oh, I beat Resident Evil 4 using the chainsaw controller. It's like, what? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like there aren't just people who are good at games anymore. There are people who are like speed run, like, oh, I'm going to speed run Elden Ring with no weapons, no armor, and I'm going to do it like an hour. It's like, I've like died like 200 times before I've beaten like the third boss, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, that's just one of the things that makes, you know, there's a lot of other games in the Super Nintendo as well. Like A Link to the Past is up there. You know, Castlevania, things like that, you know. But yeah, I think it's one of the things that makes Super Metroid so special. And there's really no other game on the system like it. I mean, I talked about Metamorph, which is obviously, I think, somewhat inspired by it. But there's really only one Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo.
On anything.
Yeah.
It's a top 10 game for me. Top 10 all time.
Is it your number one, or Super Mario World above it?
Mario World number one. It's probably in my top five.
Yeah.
You know,
Super Mario World's my number one on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Cool. All right, man. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you for joining me today, talking some Super Nintendo. Always a fun time. We'll have to come back and talk. Well, we could talk more Super Nintendo. We could talk something else. I don't know. You know, I'm sure we could think of something. But where can people find you on the internet?
YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, Age of Retro. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast. I love talking about Super Nintendo. But if we want to talk about other stuff,
down.
Let's figure it out.
Down. Absolutely. Yeah, we could talk Dreamcast, down. Ooh. We'll fire up another rep. We'll schedule out something else out here in a minute. But awesome. All right, guys. So hey, if you like this podcast, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe for more content, or give us a review on iTunes. If you like an opinion or question of your own shared on the show, be sure to leave a comment or send an email to boxtrickgaming@gmail.com. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.